on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB, and online at pulse1.co.uk. It's all about rugby. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in Pulse Tower Studios. In the studio this evening, we have none other than Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price.
Big up, big up, big up.
There we go. We have the number one, the power that is Aaron Bauer. Aaron Bauer.
I can't do what Leon's just did.
Good evening. I'm not going
to
do it.
That it?
Yeah.
Just good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, we're covering loads of all the biggest points and news from the world of rugby league. We'll have one of the original gangsters from the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, Rob Parker, live with us in the studio. Well, not in the studio, sorry. Live on the show, talking about his little incept, talking about drugs in sport, well, mainly painkillers in sport and the impact that is having. He's entered into a little bit of research at this point in time, but we'll be hearing from him and exactly how that is going down. It was live on the One Show last week. We're loads to talk about this week, including all the games gone by and the upcoming Super 8 games also. So stick with us right on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Here we go.
Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Hey, 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 boys. How's it going?
Good, yeah.
So we had the Yorkshire versus Lancashire game kick off last weekend, the Legends match. Yorkshire come out 14 points to 12 winners.
Obviously.
Close played.
Than I thought.
I played a mad 18 minutes in that game.
18?
1-8. I think my stats were 3 carries, 3 missed tackles, 1 tackle.
Well, one tackle.
Consistency, you know what I mean? It's just how I want.
How sore were your body next there?
I got to admit.
Proper sore.
Well, 18 minutes as well. A horrible, useless, pathetic 18 minutes, and I was in bits and pieces. Even I was actually still feeling it this morning, so I had to go down to the gym just to get some blood mixing through the system once again, you know what I mean? Leon. Hello. Look, I think we need to get that chocolate knee sorted out of yours so that you can come and have some fun with us as well.
That didn't look like fun.
You're
to
old
me.
Enough now.
I think Kylie Luluai smashing somebody first tackle of the game doesn't look like fun to me.
You know what was cool? So just picture it. If you weren't there, ladies and gentlemen, if you were, you know exactly what we're talking about. If you weren't there, then basically we're 3 tackles into the game. And there's a little bit of contact going on. And we were talking about how it would be all full on. And anyway, Stephen Wild from Lancashire, playing loose forward, gets the ball, just goes trundling it in to the Yorkshire defensive line. And Kylie Luluai absolutely cleaned him out.
Rattled him.
But what was funny is both on the sideline, both sets of bench warmers all went, oh, because you knew it was
Why?
On then.
Why are you doing that?
It was on. I was talking to Stephen Wild after the game, and he goes to me, When he hit me, I said, Steve, what was that? Man, you got absolutely pasted by Colin. He goes, yeah, I know. But that wasn't the bad thing. I said, when he hit me, I peeled myself off the ground and I got up smiling, thinking, oh, yeah, you got me a good one there. And I thought he was going to laugh back at me. But when I looked into his eyes had gone. They were in game mode. He was in destroy mode.
Not for me. Not hey, for me. I've done that for
right now.
Enough.
Right now, Leon played this year. Right now. But yeah, it comes back to you. You get that fever for the flavour.
It does, Robbie, but I've just been invited to go to Dubai to play in the tens and the sevens.
Yep.
Fly first.
Greatest event ever.
Fly first class. Stay over there in Blooming, I don't know where it is, somewhere over there.
Do it for a good cause.
Do it for a good cause.
Hospitality.
5-star hotel. Go to a sportsman's dinner. So I'll let you lot play dinner and I'll just be in Dubai. I'll see you later on.
It is absolutely brilliant, actually. Henry invited me with the Christina Noble Children's Foundation, and I'm guessing that's what you would be invited for.
I'll go with Movember, I'm going with.
Movember, yeah. There you go. If you get the chance, consider it. If the knee's up to it, because really all you have to do is play one game, trundling about.
Yeah, I will play one half again.
And remember, minutes. Let's remember, it's rugby union.
One touch.
It's rugby union.
Bring me off.
You're 35. Everyone else is about 45, 50.
But I'm 2 stones overweight, Robin. I've got one knee, so...
They are about 50 stone overweight.
They might be just about on my level now. Now I'm 2 stone overweight and I've got one knee. They might just catch me.
Talking about your level, we're having a bit of a planning meeting before we came on, but you turned up late.
You've been getting badged up. Do you want to see it?
I so want to see it.
It's not finished yet. I've got one more thing to go on it.
Right, so ladies and gents, he's taking off his clothes now. Shorts are coming down.
Refract today. It's all covered up.
Wow, it's not small.
You like it?
I can't see it through the cellophane.
I can't take it off another.
Is it a jaguar?
No. It's a black panther. Like,
is it a lion?
It's a lion.
Is that to do with British lions?
No, it's just where that's my inner me, my angry lion that just wants to eat people for breakfast.
So you've been reading that the Chimp Paradox.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
So rather than it being a monkey, he's coming out as it's a lion.
No, but the lion's a bit more calm. My chimp's absolutely crazy, whereas the lion's a bit more thoughtful.
Is the chimp going to come in there somewhere? as it climbs down your arm?
The jungle.
We'll take a picture of that and we'll put it on, because they always look the best when they're fresh.
Yeah, well, I've got one more sitting to do in about 3 weeks and I'll be finished.
Okay, in about 3 weeks time, because it's no point showing them the unfinished. You want to see it nice and clean and crisp.
I've been taking a bit of stick. I've got a WhatsApp group with all my best mates in there, and they're all, as you can imagine, we're all from...
Aaron, are you in that?
We're all from...
I'm not in it either, what I mean?
We're all from...
It hurts, doesn't it?
We're all from Bradford. We're all from Bradford, so you can imagine...
They are a crazy bunch as well.
Let me get my words out, boys, come on. I can imagine all my best friends are all tatted up from head to toe.
But yeah.
And I got my first one on my inside tricep. My brother took me and he was watching me and I was squealed. It's the worst pain I've ever been in my life. So I thought, this time I'm not making the same mistake. I'm getting some cream and I'm putting it on and I'm numbing it up because everybody told me it's good. We're awesome.
It did.
Total different experience.
Look, there's a thing to that. Actually, underneath the arm is one of the most sensitive places you can get. And I know under the arm, you do it under the arm because it's personal to you. It's not about being out on show.
That's right, yeah.
But the upside of the arm is quite fleshy.
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's been good. And it was numb. So, like, I'd say out of about 4 or 5 hours today, for probably about an hour altogether. In little bits and bats.
It's not a midlife crisis.
No.
Because something's happening on Friday, which is even more important than the Ta Moko Mai, as we call it in New Zealand, the tatau, the tattoo. Even bigger. Come on, share with us. How excited are you?
The price of salt will go from a 4 to a 5. Hopefully on Friday, all going well.
And you know if it's a boy or a girl, eh? You haven't shared it.
We haven't shared it yet, but my wife is currently working her last day of work. She's a bit of a trooper working right this
far. I know. She's soldiered on, hasn't she?
She's an absolute pain in the backside and she's done my head in for 9 months, but she's...
Whatever. She's worked up into two days, but she's
let me know about it every day, Robert. It's been my fault. It's been my fault the fact she's got her own business and that she's had to work while she's been pregnant.
Keep you in the lifestyle you've become accustomed to.
But yeah, she's a trooper. She's worked her backside off and today's her last day, so... On Friday, we plan to have a C-section and the third prize child of mine will be here.
Okay, so I'm just going to toss something out into the universe right now. Either Robert or Robin are great baby names.
I like them.
They're a little bit out of fashion at this point in time.
They're good names. Because, I think you've already got one though, Robbie. You've got Fieldings.
Oh, no, I'm claiming that. But that's that Robbie.
Yeah, your name's Robbie.
Robert.
Huh?
My real name's Robert.
Oh, is that for Robert?
Some journalist, you're to blame here, Aaron, you and your mates. Some journalist, when I come over here, I was either Rob or Robert. Robert normally when I was in trouble, or Rob. Everyone called me Rob.
Right.
And some journalist wrote Robbie.
Right, cool.
And from that point onwards, the last 23 years, I've been Robbie.
Yeah, so anyway, you've got one there, so we'll let you have that one. I'm not too sure. We've not got a name yet.
What about a middle name?
Middle name?
Robert?
I don't know. It's family name. We have family from middle name. So William Carl Price. Lily's Lily J. After Carly's auntie. So the middle name's always family.
Carly put on social media the other day, I'm a superwoman. I'm embracing my superwoman-ness, and I agree with it.
Because she was so mad at me because it's like, that would think it was a little dig at me for being super cool. And she's like, I'm grafting all these hours and you think this about shut up.
You're coming up with 40 different business ideas.
Yeah. And I'm sat home doing my business and I'm pregnant and nobody knows about me. Well, I'm going to let everybody know that I'm Superwoman. We'll do it then. I'm not bothered.
Okay, let's have a quick look at, before we go to a break, I think we've only got about a minute, let's have a look at some of the outcomes this weekend. Leon, your Saints boys went down at home to Wigan. This was a big game.
Yeah.
Big game for
I
them.
I took William to watch this game. First game for Benny Barber. Very, very disappointing performance from St. Helens. Thought Wigan were outstanding. It's the best 60, 70 minutes of rugby I've seen them play all season. They were slick. Lachlan were outstanding, going to the line, passing the ball out really square, so the line couldn't slide off. Sam Tompkins were back to good form. Mickey Mack were playing with lots of energy. They were just a rounded performance. The left centre, what's his name?
Gallin?
Gildart.
He looked fast. Barber looks like he's about 2 or 3 kilos overweight. I think when he drops that, he's going to be dangerous.
Yep.
I'm saying now, if you're a betting man, he'll be Man of Steel next year.
You heard it here first.
There you go.
He is slick though, isn't he?
He is good, yeah. Mate.
Aaron, what games do you cover this weekend?
Saints Wigan on Friday. I thought Tompkins stood out for me. He's just in the right place at the right time. Every single play now. He used to be free scoring.
Tompkins couldn't do that without O'Loughlin.
No. And Bateman as well. Bateman was massive.
O'Loughlin was best player on field by a mile.
And Bateman on the other edge, because Lachlan likes to play a lot on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
Bateman gives him a good strike on the right side, doesn't he?
Because he played, imagine a middle man playing, a loose forward playing 80 minutes, who's defending and attacking and setting up the attacking player all game for 80 minutes. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's massive.
All right, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll be hearing from one of the OGs of the RHP show, Rob Parker himself, on his little step into the limelight with the One Show last week, covering sensitive subject in the sport of rugby league, in sport full stop, and that is painkillers and athletes. All right, so stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. Pulse One. Travel.
All right, a quick check on the road before we get back into it. Very slow traffic on Halifax Road in both directions between Brighouse Road and Huddersfield Road at the Hellfire Crossroads. There's also heavy traffic on the M62 westbound between Junction 28 Tingley and Junction 27 Gilderdon. There's also some traffic on Tong Street, as per usual, in both directions between Rooley Lane, Dudley Hill Roundabout and Bradford and the Heckman Wyke Road. So to keep updated on the roads, check our website at www.pulse1.co.uk.
Super League, Championship, NRL, Challenge Cup, whatever the story, we've got it covered. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the power that is Aaron Bauer. We're lucky enough to have one of our original RHP show members coming up very soon. Last week he was on the One Show. He did a small televised segment talking about medication in professional sports. We've just sampled a little bit of that and we'll be hearing from him in a second. So listen up.
For 15 years I played in Rugby League's top flight. It earned me 2 Super League medals, the Challenge Cup and the World Club Challenge. But it left me battle scarred.
I've had a fractured skull, I've had a fractured cheekbone, I've got a plate in my jaw, I've had plastic surgery, I've got 2 plates in my hand, I've even had my finger amputated.
I ended up taking Tramadol, a strong opiate-based prescription painkiller. I was determined to keep playing.
And so I carried on training and using Tramadol to get over my injuries, and that's where the addiction started to come in.
And we're lucky enough to have the man himself, Rob Parker, live here with us on the show. Rob, how's it going, mate? Rob, are you there? Well, you know what
someone's
they say about
up
life.
Somewhere, aren't they? You earn, come anything. Back. You earn, we need you back.
Come on, Luke, you got one
Luke's
job.
Luke's going red.
Okay, we'll pick up with Rob. That was such a good setup as well. You know what I mean? Rob Parker talking about his many, many facial injuries. And to be honest, he's only got a face that a mother could love. He's batting well above his...
A face for the radio.
Yeah, have you seen his wife as well? He's batting way out of his league. You know what I mean? Way above his average. Let's just cover. We'll take a step back to step forward once we get Rob lined up again. Just the other games that happened in the Super 8s last weekend. Have the wheels fully completely come off for Salford as they went down to Wakefield at home?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. They got seven straight losses now, I think.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Wow.
So. They were in such a good position 2 months ago. They were in the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup, but for whatever reason. I mean, they've had some bad injuries to some big players. Losing Dobson for the year has been big for them. They've lost Flanagan for the last couple of months as well.
Lamatazi.
So they have struggled. They've struggled without some big players. But Wakefield, they're not rolling over. Everyone said they'd go away, but three games left? They're still fourth, and a big game tomorrow night for them.
I tell you what, they throw some lovely shapes to Wakefield. Yeah. You know, the rhythms and the motion that they get into, players in motion, it looks really hard to defend against.
I think they're just playing without fear a little bit, because the big thing for them was making the eight, making sure they avoid the qualifiers. Anything above that's a bonus for Wakefield. But now they're in there, I think they're there to upset a few people, you know, mess about, have a good time, enjoy themselves, and that's what it's all about. The thing
that I was disappointed with Wakefield was I went to watch them against Castleford when the shield was on the line.
Yep.
And if they'd have actually played anywhere near, they'd have probably beaten them.
Their capability.
Yeah, but they played really poor. Like, the last player selection was poor. The last player's shape was poor. They ran the ball when they should have kicked. There were a guy on the wing who were having a nightmare, and they just kept on running it. And I just thought, if you can't win this game or even be closer and lose it by 20, 30 points, and Castle played rubbish, then, you know, what are you going to do actually if you win the four? Because you're not going to do well.
Mm. I thought it was an interesting point. I think the players kicked all the coaches, and I think they even asked Marwan to step out of the changing room as they had a one-to-one with one another. Leon, have you been in any of those situations before where you've had to, look, we've got to sort this out ourselves? What do you think was the conversation? Your experience, what conversation was going on? Seven back-to-back losses.
Well, the same as what you'll already know, Robbie. We know that when you get on the field, it's the player's responsibility.
Mm.
And you're only accountable for each other. The coach can only make so many calls. They can only make so many subs. Can only set so many tactics. But if your attitude's not right for the game, you're not willing to cover each other's backs, if you're not willing to do the dirty work, roll your sleeves up, work hard at marker, double up on your marker work, kick chase. There's so many fundamentals of rugby league that's not skill-based, it's effort-based. And if you've not got that for each other, that desire for each other, then you know as much as I do, you can't win rugby games.
Yeah, you're right. And is it only, I mean, because you can have a freakish loss, can't you? You can lose. You can turn up to the game where everybody just doesn't click. But seven on the row, especially after playing so well and so dominantly all season long, where, you know, how do you recapture with three games to go?
You don't. I don't think you do recapture it. I think you try and look to next year. I think you try as on a high morale state as possible. But you just try and cover up a few patches. Listen, they've had a fantastic season. You shouldn't go away with what they were achieving at your doors, because they were fantastic for three quarters of the way this season. And to be honest, both them and Wakefield have surprised us all, really. So I'll rather congratulate them for the three quarters of the season effort rather than talk about the last seven games.
All right, Giants versus Cass. That was an interesting one. Giants going into that game on a high. Cass, really, nothing to play for.
Nothing to play for, except Darryl Powell made it perfectly clear there's spots on the line for his team for the semi-finals, so that's going to be in the thinking of some players' minds, because I'm pretty sure he's not completely certain what his team's going to be. But Leon's just on about Salford and Wakefield surprising people. Salford disappointing now, but in the grand scheme of things, they've had a good year. I think the same for Huddersfield as well. They were in the middle eight last year. I think people thought they'd struggle again this year, and it certainly looked like they were going to for long periods, but they turned it round. They got on a good run of form, forced their way into the eight. They're not going to be in the contention for the top four now, but from where they were, I think it's a season of progression, and they look like they've made some good recruitment for next year. They got Rankin in early. They've got a fully fit Marmo, hopefully, next year. They look like they've got the tools to go a long way next year, Huddersfield.
Leon.
And that's the point, though, Matt. This is my problem. The teams are really, really fighting and battling hard to get in the top eight. Once they're there, then there's not really, it's like, oh yeah, well, they've done well, I've had a great season. They're just winding down now, and they're going to look to get to next year. Well, no, this is the business end of the season. Yeah. Why are we winding down? Why are teams coming out of form? We should be looking to, this is the way we're gearing up, teams coming into form. Wigan have just come into form. They're coming good. If Wigan play like they did against Saints, they will win it.
It's quite interesting that teams with experience know how to time it.
Exactly.
Look, I think from Salford's point of view, it was that big charge. They got the momentum going early on in the season. I think they were fortunate. Sometimes when they hit teams that were on a real dip, when they actually had their dips as well, but because of the talent within the squad, they were able to get away with scrape wins and continue on with the process. They hit some of the teams at the right time, but they've also got world-class players within their ranks. Huddersfield struggled at the beginning of this year, beginning part of this season, and then they hit their form in the back end. But as we all know, every team's going to have that high point, but they're going to dip as well. And I think from a Wigan's point of view, they're the perfect example. And Leeds also. I think Leeds is another one to watch. They know how to time their run. And I remember when we were with that successful Bulls team, Jimmy went on to coaching, Nobby, they all used to have big conversations about what we were doing and when we were going to do it, when we were going to make the move. Remember the 2005 season, we steamrolled the back end of the season, absolutely just punishing, blowing away everyone. We got that momentum going and then everybody bought in and then we just, no one could stand in front of us in reality.
But at the moment in the Super League, what would you say is really catching a fire other than Wigan?
Well, Cass.
They're playing decent, but what I'm saying is, this is, and I don't mean to take anything away from them, but we don't know if Castle have got the credentials to win a Super League. So I'm just saying, form wise, who could you at this moment in time see winning it?
Well, to be honest, watching what Hull did in the Challenge Cup final, Hull have got the firepower within their ranks to do it. They got it. If you think about how well they played in their game against Leeds last weekend. I mean, they only just lost, really. They were in the game all the way up into the last 15 minutes within their ranks. And you look, we have to expect they've probably been on the drink for at least 2 to 3 days.
So how come then, Robbie, in this game, and I know that a lot of it's governed by Sky and the RFL, how can you have a team playing in a Wembley on a Saturday and then backing up on a Thursday?
Yeah.
Sky, you just said it.
Yeah, I know, but it's not wrong, isn't it? So it's somebody to organise. It's player welfare. It's the biggest game of the year. Between the two biggest games of the year, let the boys enjoy themselves, not play 3 to 4 days later.
It is a tough one because obviously you bow down to the organisation, the stakeholder that invests the most. And let's be honest, Sky do. They invest the most. And they're thinking, well, actually, the rules stipulate that you've got to have a 5-day break. And in theory, that is a 5-day break, Saturday to Thursday. It's not their responsibility to stop players from enjoying themselves and entertaining themselves.
Yes,
but it's going to happen.
But where's the welfare then? What I'm saying is where does it say because they've got to have a 5-day break? Where does it say that?
I think it's just from a recovery. It's 72 hours for soft tissue damage. And I think it's stipulated that there needs to be, I think, player welfare.
It's in the operational rules. You can't do Sunday, Thursday, which is a 4-day turnaround. It has to be 5 days.
What does? Well, after a Challenge Cup or ever?
After any game. You can't play
so
Sunday.
What about Easter weekend then?
Well, with the exception of the
Easter. Oh, right then. So that's all right. Well, this is what I'm saying.
Two Easter weekends, remember?
Don't make sense.
Two Easter weekends.
This is what I'm saying. Listen, you can't do that. It's in the rules. We cannot. It's too short. But we do it twice during the year. All right.
yeah. Look, it's hard to argue against that.
Come on.
We're going to go to a break now. We're going to try and see if we can get a hold of Rob Parker once again, and so we can discuss what he highlighted as a potential issue for the sport. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. And
now, from the world of rugby league, this is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse One.
The Paul Show live here in Pulse, in the Pulse One Towers Studios. Live in the studio, we've got Leon Price and Aaron Bowers, and we're going to try and get Rob Parker back on the road, back on the phone. Any luck, Luke? Rob, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there he goes. Tell you what, you're
who's
original
the new,
OG.
The new producer.
Hey, it's Luke. Do you remember redheaded Luke?
Now, get rid of him. Bring back Ewan.
Bring back Ewan, you reckon?
This never happened when Ewan was here.
Well, I think it did happen a couple of times, but that was because I was playing right, with the buttons. So, Rob, look, fill us in on the one show last week. How did you get involved, and why are you doing it?
I actually did a friend's podcast. A guy called Scroobius Pippa, who I did some filming with when we did the series of Taboo. And I did his podcast back in January of this year. And on that, we kind of is a bit more of like a snapshot of kind of rugby and personal life and everything like that. And I spoke briefly about prescription drugs on the podcast. And from that, there was a researcher called Gary Butcher who got involved. And he was actually a researcher for the One Show. And he approached me to see if we could do something like a little documentary to highlight, you know, the kind of trials, tribulations, and what kind of stresses people go through, especially obviously professional athletes. But also, it was more a snapshot of normal society as well, because I think it's an issue and an epidemic that sometimes we don't really talk about.
Now, you're involved with research going on at Leeds Beckett University to do with performance. Well, actually, no, painkillers involved with rugby league. Is it rugby league specific or is it sport specific?
Well, I was involved with the Leeds Beckett University. They was doing they were doing a study about the effects of rugby league on your body. And this is not in any way, shape, or form trying to be detriment to our game, because for me, I love the game and it's given me everything that I've ever received in life. So it's not a way to actually, you know, dare I say, bag our game or anything like that. It's just a way to highlight it and potentially make, you know, the recovery period or different things that I was listening to on, you know, whilst I was off air before. I was listening to you talking about the 90 or 72 days turnaround and things like that. And obviously, I know Leon, you know, rightly so, has got to be in his bonnet about player welfare and everything else. So it's more, the more education that we can find from it and the more kind of quantifiable stats that we've got, the more we can actually do look at proper player welfare and how to help players in the future.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because with rugby league being a collision sport, no matter what, it's going to hurt to play the game.
Yeah, of course. And again, my issue really wasn't to do with, you know, anything bad about the game. We were just highlighting, you know, the effects of the game, but also then the pressures personally and maybe at club level that, you know, for me personally, I had pressures to play because ultimately I loved the game and I felt like I was letting my teammates down if I couldn't play. But there's also pressures of new contracts. There's other people coming and fighting for your place. And if you are injured, do you know what I mean? You don't feel part of the team. So there then becomes a bit of a kind of double-edged sword, as in what's right and what's wrong. And sometimes as players and athletes, we sometimes make the right decision for the club, but sometimes ethically you make the wrong decision for you as a player and ultimately for you as a human being.
And you do point that it's a great article piece where you in a very short amount of time you're able to explore quite a number of those different elements that you've just explained there. Now, we are going to post up on the on Pulse One, the Pulse One Twitter handle, the actual article itself. It's fantastic. We'll take you through to the website and you can watch it exactly. Rob, what are you doing with yourself at the moment?
I'm sat in the car talking to you.
You've been waiting in the car all that time. Is that the only quiet place?
Yeah.
Only bit of quiet time you can have.
I've been doing a few little things. I was working at Swinton Lions a couple of months ago, and that kind of, for whatever reason, fell by the wayside, and it probably wasn't right for me either. But yeah, I've done a little bit more filming, so there's something more in the pipeline to come from.
And you're not allowed to share that with us, aren't you? Everything's always, you know, because in that world, letting go the inside track isn't always given. What can you share with us?
There's already been an article, I think, produced a while back, but it's still in its infancy yet. But I did a British comedy with 21st Century Fox, so just pick that one up off the floor. But we did a film a couple of months ago, and it comes out in the cinema in March, and it's called Walk Like a Panther, which is pretty much all I can say about it. But it's a really good film. I had a really good time filming it and met some great people whilst doing so and just loved it. So just trying to see and explore what kind of opportunities there could be and just enjoy whatever life throws at me these days.
Basically, Walk Like a Panther, the Full Monty 2. Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's a bit of a hint of Full Monty. We filmed in up and around Otley and Leeds and a real British northern working class humour, and I'm pretty sure, especially the kind of rugby league fraternity, will certainly enjoy it.
Oh, I know you're going to be absolutely fantastic, Rob. Look, I thank you very from the bottom of my heart for coming on the show tonight. As always, mate, you're always welcome here. Whenever you're about on a Wednesday evening, make sure that you stop by the studio and bring back that old school vibe.
Certainly will, pal. Thanks for having me on again, mate.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
Take care.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Parker, live from the studio set. No, he wasn't in the studio set. I think he was just hanging out in a car park. But, I mean, the issue that he had brought to light really was something that's quite pertinent. And, Leon, you've seen it evolve. I mean, you came into the game when you were 13 years of age, right back in 1998, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right when it was still the world of rugby league was still making that bridge from, which is semi-professional, game into the full professional athlete, which is what it is today. Did you personally see the sort of the pain medication creep into the game, kind of like highlighting what Rob's article does?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first of all, I think we need to get out of this culture of people don't feel like they can't say anything, because if they do say anything, they're blaming somebody. Like Rob said then, I'm not having a go at the game. Well, we know you're not having a go at the game, Robert, and he shouldn't feel like he has to say that, because he's saving people's careers and by highlighting a problem that needs sorting out. And so he's doing a great job, and he should be proud of the fact that he's doing that. but yeah, we've seen it creep in. We've seen the alcohol, the alcohol culture. It's still in rugby league, if we're honest, but it's dropped off massively, hugely compared to where it was.
Look, when I first started playing back in 94, 95, it wasn't uncommon for us to have a drink on a Tuesday, a Thursday, and then a Sunday, three sessions a week. That was normal. Mm-hmm. You were abnormal if you didn't.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say, my point is, rugby league as a whole, in general, is a working man. Listen, we all come from a working class area. We come from up north, where from Hull to St. Helens or Liverpool, on that M62 corridor. We're a working class area.
Sport, yeah.
A working class sport played by working class people. So we're going to act.
Proud to be Primark,
yeah, eh? Yeah. So we're going to act working class, which is you work Monday to Friday, you have a beer after you've worked on a Friday. That's how most of your parents are brought up.
Yep.
That's what you get
cultured
brought up
into,
seeing. So,
yeah.
So you work hard and you work out all week, you play a game of rugby, you go and have a couple of beers. So, so that culture is kind of massive when Newstart came through. It was still big when I come through. And over the last 5 to 10 years, it's slowed down and got probably ultra-professional. Yeah. But in doing so, the prescription drugs and the painkillers have gone through the roof.
Aaron, have you seen it become more evident? Have you seen sort of your job effectively is to pick up the rumours, the trends that is going on in rugby league, in professional sports, full stop. Have you seen it become a little more evident?
The prescription drug issue.
Yeah.
Like Leon says, I think there's been a bit of a culture shift, hasn't there, in recent years. But what's important is that the sport now has seemed to have got more of a grip on how to help players deal with it.
Mm.
Maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago, there was probably not a lot for players just coming out of the game in terms of helping them get back on the feet and find the way and things like that. Unfortunately, it's taken a couple of horrible incidents for the game to sort of get a kick up the backside and realise, right, we've got a duty of care to players, not just who are playing the game now, but players who are going to be retired for the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years. I'm not massively in on the prescription drug side of things. I don't know how that works. I don't know how it is in this day and age. But what I do know is that the Rugby Football League and Rugby League Cares and State of Mind are all working together to try and just support players wherever they can. I'm sure you guys have probably known about it. You recently retired yourself. You've got mates who've recently retired and have probably gone through a little bit of trouble. I think, as a whole, I think the game is moving in the right direction to try and help combat this sort of thing.
Let me share with you my experiences. So, like, I straddled that pure athlete all the way through to professional rugby players, players that got paid to play rugby. And my career straddled that genre. So we were talking about when I first started on my journey, it was not uncommon for you to have a drink 3 times a week. I'm not talking about heavy sessions, but you have a Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday drink. And then as the game got tougher, as all the teams become full-time professional and the game started asking more, the drinking culture sort of dropped off. But one thing, there was a vacuum, because the players still were dealing with a lot of stress. One thing, and players were also dealing with a lot of pain, they were able to see that actually prescription drugs would have helped them relax. There's drugs like Zoplicone, which is a sleeping pill, and Diazepam, which is a muscle relaxant for, you know, they helps you with pain. And just to stress out there also, ladies and gentlemen, that none of this is good for you. All of it's bad. And so there was a small window where you would argue players may have been misusing them. And I think that was well documented about maybe 7, 8 years ago. So that, I think that's where the Rugby League Cares element, all of that was generated to make sure that no player, especially in the world of rugby league, actually, was truly damaged by it.
Also, I think there was a bit of a stigma surrounding maybe players who had got into, not necessarily trouble, but got a bit of a painkiller addiction or prescription drug addiction. Players didn't feel like they could tell anyone. I am struggling here, you know, I do need some help, I do need a bit of support. There's a bit of a stigma surrounding that, wasn't there? And again, State of Mind and things like that, trying to break down those barriers.
The culture of our sport, don't moan, don't whine about it, just crack on.
Yeah.
And that happened to me. I remember having an injection in the neck. I was explaining to you earlier, 4 days on quite heavy painkillers. And then as I come off, absolutely gorgeous weather out there, had a lovely weekend. And then 3 days after coming off, I got depression for 1 day. It was the weirdest thing ever, but I felt like I was dragging my knuckles. I felt like crying. I felt, you're right. I didn't tell anyone. It was just, I knew what it was. I figured out that, this is depression because of the course of medication that I've just been through. But it's something that probably wasn't highlighted to me at that point in time that this could happen. I just sort of had to deal with it. And I think that's one of the issues that we're talking about and needs to be explored and has been researched at this point in time. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to reinforce that we don't condone any of that. 100% me is a great call to go through from a professional sportsman. Any kids out there listening, 100% you. That's what you want to be. That's how you can walk, talk, and hold your head high. All right, ladies and gents, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to look forward to all the Super 8 gates coming up this weekend.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, and this is the final segment of the show. In the studio, we have the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price, and the power that is Aaron Bauer, the guy with his finger on the pulse, and it is Pulse 1 Radios as well. You see what I've done there? Aaron, you like it? Yeah. Okay, let's talk rugby league. Back to rugby league. We're getting to the exciting part of the season. The Super 8 qualifiers, we're going to start there and then we'll go into the Super 8s themselves, Super League finals. Look, the qualifiers, again, seem like maybe the biggest talking point. Who's going to end up in that million-pound game? There was a crunch match on the weekend between Widnes and Lee. Lee at home, it was a big one for them. I think there were murmurs coming out once again with their owners saying that if Lee goes down into the championship, he's going to pull the support. That, we were talking about this last year, weren't we, Leon, when Marwan's from Salford, murmurs were coming out that conversation was happening as well. What do you do? How does that leave you? I mean, is that the talk going on at the moment, Aaron?
I've certainly heard it myself, yeah. A few people have heard it. It's pressure, isn't it? If the players get wind of that, they realise they're not just getting relegated. There's potentially all sorts of things happening behind the scenes at the club, and that's not great to have on your shoulders when you've got a massive 3 weeks coming up. I mean, it's still in Lee's hands. They could win the last three games. They've got 10 points then. They're probably in the top three. They get it done and they get out without having to go through the million-pound game. Mm. But if that starts to rear its head during the week leading up to a million-pound game, is not good.
Leon, you hear that sort of talk, do you not get onto your manager and go, find me a plan B? Justin Clay's plan A doesn't happen, find me plan B.
I think the full team will have plan B. You've got to do because everybody's got bills to pay. So you'd be pretty stupid not to, wouldn't you?
Unless you're convinced.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't look great at the minute.
But no matter what we say, though, There's not every single player is going to get a full-time contract offer.
No, they're not, but at the end of the day, we play sport. So in sport, there is no definite outcome. So if there's no definite outcome that we can see in a crystal ball, then you would have thought that every player would have a backup.
And then let's picture this. You do get your manager or agent or whoever to go for plan B. Your plan B becomes better than your plan A. Where's your mind then?
Oh, God knows. But at the end of the day as well, realistically, all the players won't be offered contract by clubs. No. There's a lot of players, I'd say there's at least 60% of players that probably won't be offered a deal by any other clubs. So then what happens if you go down?
That's
as,
right.
As in Kevin Leroy here, last year.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing.
Yeah, you're right. So looking forward to the games coming up this weekend. It's a big one for Lee Centurions and they have to go to Warrington and play Warrington.
Yeah, and they could only be a point clear of London, because London have got Halifax on Sunday. So if London win and Lee lose, then Lee are in the last million-pound game spot by only a point. And they play London the last week of the qualifiers, so that could almost be those two playing for a place in the million-pound game. So if Lee lose this week and London win, you're looking at a scenario where Lee might actually be looking over the shoulders to make sure they're in the million-pound game, if nothing else. It's not cut and dried that the million-pound game's going to be Lee against Catalan or Catalans against Lee, because it changes so much on a weekly basis in this qualifiers. That's why I think everyone loves it, because it's so unpredictable.
You're right, and the jeopardy is so massive, though. I think that's another reason why they love it, because there's so much to lose. Yeah. And that's a bit of a weird one, because we're focusing on what's going to be lost and not what can be gained.
Yeah, but that's sport, isn't it? We got relegation in all sport. There's jeopardy in every sport, and I think it's part of what makes it brilliant, really. You've got more teams having more things to play for. There's more focus, more attention on the sport. I think going back to a system without relegation now would just be madness. I think this has been great.
Yeah, I quite like it as well. It does give us something
it's
to talk
good.
About.
Yeah.
And from your guys' point of view, yeah. from a journalist's point of view, I think the only icky point right now is these last few games when it comes to the tier above, the Super 8 playoff qualifiers for the Super League championship, Super League title. That's what that, I mean. It's definitely one that Leon doesn't like because he experienced it with Hull. They ended up in no man's land, and they were like, "Oh, what do we do now?"
Yeah,
it was exciting for the teams playing against championships because they were playing for their pay packets. It was exciting for those at the top, but the middle ground.
Yeah, you can't help having dead rubbers, though. You have dead rubbers in all sport, don't you? Premier League, last few games of the Premier League season, there'll be West Broms and Watfords who don't have anything to play for.
Can I ask this question then? So since the start of Super League, which is about 20 years old now, would you prefer this system to the X8 teams playoffs or whatever we had?
I think the best system was what you guys probably had some success under, which was the top five.
Yes, I like the top five.
Where the first place team got two bites of the cherry.
Mm.
And the reason I think that's
good...
They
got a week off as well.
Yeah, and also the reason that's good is because Cass now could win the league by 14 points, 16 points this
year.
And not
get a grand final.
And if they lose one game, it's done.
Yeah.
And I think that adds a bit of doubt
it's
over the
just
credibility.
Rubbish. It just
of
gives
system.
It no credibility.
I reckon it helps you to learn how to win also. The reason why it helps you to learn how to win is because once you go in against, you know, when you get two bites of the cherry, it gives you the opportunity to test yourself against a sharpened team if they've got more experience than you have.
There's got to be a reward in Cass's. I mean, I know sometimes, like the last 2 years, it's only been won by a point or something, but for Cass to be 6-7 wins better than everyone else this year, they need at least some reward. They need a second bite of the cherry, and the top five gave you that. I thought it was pretty good.
Now back to you guys again, and then another big clash game, and one that's strategically important for that playoff system in the qualifiers is the Hull KR versus Widnes. Now, Aaron, I think you're suggesting that as the setup goes, if Hull KR win this against Widnes, they're safe. They've claimed their Super League.
Well, they're promoted, yeah. Yeah, I think Warrington need to beat Lee as well, but I think that's probably good value to actually happen. And then it's all eyes on Hull KR. Yeah, there'd be five wins from five then. Amazing effort. It's tough to get yourself up for these qualifiers. So.
Widnes were good last week though. Yeah. Leon, can Hull KR beat Widnes, and Hull KR are at home?
Absolutely, yeah. I think Hull KR is one of the toughest away grounds to go to in the whole of Rugby League.
Horrible,
not just in
isn't
Super
it?
League, just in the whole of Rugby League.
Rocking this weekend.
It's horrible.
Well.
I can just imagine.
I think Hull KR win that game comfortably, in my opinion.
Well, I can't. To be honest, I can't really argue with you. So let's have a look at the Super 8s. The Betfred Super League Super 8s. Thursday night, Wakefield Trinity versus St Helens.
Big one for Leon's old boys if Wakefield win.
Wakefield are in form. They're at home. Saints, it's a must win for your boys, Leon.
My boys were, I thought, quite... I don't like to be critical, but I've got to be honest. I thought they were very poor against Wigan. Mm. I thought it looked like men versus boys. It looked like Saints need to go and sign four or five forwards. And Wigan were real dominant and... They are really needed some making up to this week.
I mean, so much hype around Benny Barber coming in. Obviously, just coming back from his ban. There's the Lomax saga. What's the best spine of their team? 9, 7, 6 in fullback.
You put Benny Barber at one. I'd go Richards at 7 for now, and maybe play Theo Farge or what's the new young kid called? Richardson.
Richardson.
They've got an headache, haven't they? They've got an headache at the end of the day. So it's not for me to work out, but I don't think they've definitely...
You personally, what do you think would be the right recipe for them?
I don't know.
Bring back Sean Long?
They have not played well as a 1-6-7-9.
Long and Price in the halves.
They've not had a balanced system that's worked, have they yet? It's not worked, so none of us know.
Yeah, I'm not sure he knows what his best spine is.
I don't know. I've got no idea. I've watched him.
He'll need an off-season to know what his best spine is.
Definitely. Well, that's right. That's tough for him, isn't it? He coming in halfway through the season.
Yeah, well, he has had 6-7 weeks to train, though. He's been allowed to train as Barber. I think he knew that Barber was fullback. Everything else, I'll just work out as I go along.
Agreed.
No, I'm talking about the coach here.
Holbrook?
Yeah. Coming halfway through.
Oh, okay.
And getting the right rhythm.
Get his own players, yeah.
Okay, let's fast forward. One day, Friday night, Castleford Tigers at home to Leeds Rhinos. Neither of these have got anything to play for. They're both secure in the semi-finals. What happens?
Cass at home. Almost impossible to beat. Cass win, I think, definitely.
I'll go Leeds.
Hull FC, Leon, their way to Wigan, maybe two of the form teams.
Yeah, I just think if Wigan back up that performance, they're going to be tough to beat, especially at JJB. Or DW, should I say?
Yeah, I think
I do that all the time.
I think Hull, I think they're better prepared than last year. I think they'll get in the form.
And do you think that they've now got that the Challenge Cup out of their system?
Yeah,
they're
going to. I think they had last week. I just think, like Leon touched on earlier, they got caught up by a bit of jet lag from five days before.
And it's interesting. Actually, it is an interesting one. Also, the final Super 8 Super League game is Salford Red Devils versus Huddersfield Giants. Quickly,
a bit of a dead rubber, I think. Huddersfield.
Don't care.
Don't care. All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Big thank you to Leon and Aaron being on the show. Rob Parker also. We'll be back this time next Wednesday. We love you.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse 1. Wednesday evening from 6:00.